Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. So our studios at WNYC are still closed, but we're reaching out today to the Las Vegas-born, Philadelphia-based singer and songwriter, Shamir. With his distinctive high voice and his rich blend of rock, hip-hop, and R&B, Shamir has written songs on his new album that look at gender norms and his own queer identity. The album's out on February 11th. It's called Heterosexuality, and we'll talk about the music and the title after we hear a song.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hey. I'm Shamir. This is
Grant.
And
I'm Rhea.
And we're going to sing the closing track on my album, Heterosexuality. It is called Nuclear. I hope you like it, WNYC. You can nuke my heart like a microwave. It might be warm, but it can't be made back to its original state. Quite used to being sad and soggy all the time. You made me completely off my mind and it still ache. But I'll just sleep it away. Linger on my skin to my own sense no more. Love's a decadence that rots down to the core. Someone comes around, you simply can't ignore. And so the cycle begins. Serotonin comes and goes in tiny waves, but these days it's stalled, and I kinda like it that way. No one to dear my aim. Don't know if I'll entertain it the next time, but if I do, I know I'll be okay. Getting better cleaning messes I made. Tears the secret to lift stains that came from blood. Thank you.
That's a live performance of the song Nuclear by Shamir, whose new album, Heterosexuality, comes out on Friday, the 11th. And Shamir, along with Grant Pavel and a very relaxed Rhea Freed, playing percussion while lying on the couch there. That's a nice kind of feeling, Shamir, for an album that actually has quite a lot of anxiety and tension to it.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the album, in this song, you sing, I do know I'll be okay, getting better at cleaning up the messes I made. So is this, you know, kind of you working through a process and kind of leaving us in a lighter place than where we began?
I think that's what I want for my art all the time. You know what I mean? I want my art to be cathartic and healing, you know what I mean? I want people to leave my music feeling better and, like, not bad or worse. No matter how, like, maybe depressing the song is, you know what I mean? I still want people to leave feeling positive.
And has it worked out that way for you personally? Going, you know, you do a lot of excavating mm-hmm. of your own life and, you know, turmoil on this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely therapeutic for me.
Okay. And the title of the album, Heterosexuality, shall we take that as being at least slightly ironic?
Absolutely. I'm a troll, yeah. Absolutely. It started off as a joke, but, you know, I think this record really is about my relationship to the very, like, cishet straight world, you know what I mean? As a queer person. So I think it was, like, really apt, actually.
In the song called Cisgender, you sing, I don't want to be a girl, I don't want to be a man, I'm just existing in this godforsaken land.
I'm not cisgender, I'm not.
Now, I realize that's early in the journey of the record, mm-hmm. but, you know, songs like that, you know, I know you've done a number of recordings before this. This mm-hmm. feels like something you've had to work your way up to.
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that, because, yeah, like, I think it's, you know, I said it's not lost on me that, you know, I'm making this specific record as my eighth record. And I think, you know, I had to grow and live and learn and, you know, figure myself out and, you know, make myself healthier, you know what I mean? Like, I, you know, after I got diagnosed bipolar, you know, I really went hard on self-care and then I quit smoking cigarettes. And I just think now at 27, I'm the healthiest I've ever been. And thus, it made me able to do this record.
Yeah. Well, you know, you referred to yourself before, you referred to what you do as your art, because it's a lot more than just music.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a mm-hmm. book whose title is, mm-hmm. But I'm a Painter. So, and it's yeah. a book of essays about your own paintings. And so which came first for you, and how do you juggle them?
Well, painting came first. But I do, you know, I do feel like, you know, music will always be, like, my main medium and the medium that I feel like the most comfortable with. But before I started doing music, yeah, paint. I always just painted as a child. And, you know, painting for me, it is a way for me to get in touch with my inner child, because that was, like, the first thing that I felt that was, like, accessible for me to, like, kind of, like, get my creative energy out. And so when I started doing it again as an adult, it was, yeah, it just, like, really tapped into my inner child in a weird way, because I didn't do it consistently in between, like, very early childhood and, like, just when I decided to, like, start doing it again when I was, like, I think, like, 21.
Hmm. Any particular reason? You know, was there something that music wasn't giving you that you...
Exactly. I mentioned all this in the book. Like, it was after I did my first tour for Ratchet. And when I finished, yeah, like, I didn't want anything to do with music. Like, when I had, I mean, you know, this is, a lot of people know this, like, when I had finished touring Ratchet, and promoting Ratchet, I was contemplating even continuing to do music at all. Mm-hmm. Because my strife was with music at the time. Painting was what was the thing that did it for me. So.
All right, so the book's called But I'm a Painter, and yet Shamir is also obviously a singer, musician, songwriter. Let's hear this song called Reproductive next. This has one of the most striking moments on the album. Let's see how it sounds in this live performance from Shamir and friends.
Okay, ready?
Return Venus, love is meaningless. For the first 25, and I guess that's all right with me. Life gets tricky when you're breaking curses from another life and hopes that the next one will be. Sure, the evil ends here with me. is seamless. When you sharpen the knife, and there's a chance you might not even bleed.
That is Shamir, live with Reproductive. And Shamir, in introducing the song, I said it has one of the most striking moments on the record. And I think everyone now knows what I'm talking about. That very high, very, very long held tone towards the end, followed by the little vocalese at the ending there. You know, for folks who haven't heard you sing before, it's got to be the first question they ask you, which is, what kind of voice is that? What do you tell people?
Officially countertenor, technically, I guess it's a technical term, but also, I guess, like soprano, male soprano, if that's a thing.
Yeah, you're pretty... pretty far up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Countertenor is, for folks who don't know, in classical music, a countertenor is a male voice that sings in the female contralto range, and maybe you get up to the mezzo-soprano. But you're hitting the heights there.
I feel like a classic soprano. I don't even, like, most contraltos I know have deeper voices than me and can hit lower notes than me. So yeah, I feel between mezzo and soprano, but that's what's so annoying about these things is that they're so gendered, which is so stupid. But yeah, I guess the technical term is a countertenor.
Yeah. Did you have to study that? How did you develop that kind of, the other, maybe let me back up a second. How much of that is chest voice and how much is head voice? I know I'm getting technical here, but since we're throwing around technical terms, I thought I'd ask.
I feel like I have a really strong mix, but a lot of it is just chest. I smoked for the longest as well. I just quit smoking like two years ago, and me doing that note honestly is probably me just like flexing that.
That muscle.
I definitely do feel just like flexing that. I feel like I definitely, like, since I stopped smoking, I feel that I have more lung capacity for sure. But yeah, I think my voice never changed, or changed as much as it did through puberty, and I have no explanation for that other than, like, maybe because, like, I started singing very early at 8, right? So, you know, all the kids have the same tone of voice, right?
Right.
And so I guess when I was learning how to sing, I always imitated, like, female singers, and I guess I just got used to just, like, singing in a normal register, and it continued over the rest of my life. I have no idea. I don't know the science behind it.
So, but there wasn't any, like, kind of classical countertenor training or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I'm completely self-taught. When I first got signed to XL for my first record, they paid for 2 really expensive lessons by a really great vocal coach, so I only needed 2, and then yeah, I've just been zooming ever since.
This album, I mean, even without going back to the first group of records, just on this album alone, you know, there's clear elements of rock, of indie rock, of R&B, of hip hop, does that reflect what was in the house when you were growing up?
Definitely, yeah. So, I mean, I basically grew up with, like, my mom and her twin. I was basically raised by both of them. And my mom, for the most part, likes, like, vocal R&B, like, good, like, 70s, 80s, like, vocal R&B. And, You know, people never call out this, like, vocal influence of mine, unless you follow me on Twitter, then you probably know. But, like, Tina Marie is, like, one of my biggest vocal influences. So definitely that. Obviously, Nina Simone. A lot of people know that. Like, my mom literally listens to Nina Simone while she's pregnant with me the entire time. And my aunt introduced me to country because she's a songwriter, and she just like write like country songs, and she also wrote like R&B stuff and pop stuff and like everything. Not for anyone in particular. It was just something that she liked to do, and she couldn't play anything or know how to sing. So like growing up, she built out a studio in her room, and then just like literally will find musicians around Las Vegas, bring them to her room and have them like bring her songs to life.
Wow.
And so that was like really early on in my life, like before kindergarten and like during kindergarten. So I had kind of like an insight onto like the songwriting process like very early on in my life.
And that, of course, I mean, in a way, your aunt was ahead of the big wave of home recording mm-hmm. studios that would happen just a few
exactly.
years later. So that's, yeah, that's
exactly,
really
you know?
Interesting. So as we were saying, you know, there are all of these different elements that get woven into this record.
Mm-hmm.
And the song you're going to do for us next, called Cold Brew,
mm-hmm.
on the record, this is, I mean, this it's a pop song. You know, it's got a catchy hook, which is a mm-hmm. great delivery mechanism for messages that can be, you know, maybe
heavy.
Sometimes a little rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that was part of the intention.
Yeah. That's why I think that's where my love for pop music lies, because I know that I'm well aware that I'm an intense person. I can't help it. I don't even like it sometimes. And I think that's what, because I discovered, I know that sounds so funny, but like, you know, I mean, I still don't know how to drive, and, you know, my mom doesn't listen to the radio because, just like I said, she like old school R&B stuff. So I just was never really exposed to pop music growing up. And I didn't really start listening to pop music until high school.
Yeah.
And there's something just clicked in high school, and I kind of had like this epiphany that like, oh my God, pop music can like be a vehicle for like the more like heavier stuff that I want to do.
Well, you know, I growing up as a kid and hearing Marvin Gaye sing What's Going On,
mm-hmm.
for years I had no idea what he was saying. It was just a great song, and I loved the sound of it. And it wasn't until, you know, I was probably an adult before I realized, oh, that's what he's singing about, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe because I just, like, always had a really deep relationship with music. Like, that song always had, even as a child, I remember kind of, like, feeling heavy to me. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. There was also in the 80s there was a rock band out of Australia called Midnight Oil, and they had this hit song
mm-hmm.
called Beds Are Burning. How can we mm-hmm. sleep when our beds are burning?
Yeah, you know the song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was another one. It's like a great song. You could dance to it, and then suddenly
Well, I think that's
realize...
a better example, right? Like, I think because the music is, like, more chipper. Whereas, like, to me, I think what's going on is, like, the music is also kind of a little bit mournful as well. But there's definitely, like, you
yes.
know, there's, like, that. There's also, like, Dancing on My Own by Robin. You know what I mean? I think that's, like, the best example of that to me, in my opinion.
Yeah. But Beds Are Burning is about Aboriginal land rights in Australia. And I had... Yeah,
that's
it's
so
all
sad.
About giving back to the native peoples of that continent. So, yeah, I mean, all of which is simply to say that you're part of a long tradition of using mm-hmm. pop music, as you say, as a vehicle to deliver the message. So all of that is a pretty long introduction to the song. Let's hear this live performance. Let's hear this live performance of the song Cold Brew from my guest Shamir.
Thank you.
That's called Cold Brew, live performance by Shamir, with Grant and Rhea helping out once again. And the album is, you know, obviously a much bigger production, much more lavishly produced. You got layers of drums and guitars and sometimes keyboards and stuff. But it's really nice to hear these songs, Shamir, stripped down like this. And
yeah,
they still work. You know, it's still a catchy pop song.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they start, you know what I mean? I'm just like in my room writing these songs just like that. And then I send them over to Holocommon and he does all of that.
All the production and stuff, yeah. Well, Shamir, the album sounds terrific. Heterosexuality comes out on Friday. Thank you so much for playing some of these songs for us.
Thank you, this was wonderful. 'Cause I'm
Watch the video for Nuclear, the first song that Shamir played for us, on the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here at newsounds.org. Our technical director for this soundcheck series is Irene Cardell, our producer's Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.